This episode of the JomoCast is sponsored by Freedom. Freedom is an easy-to-use app that allows you to block distractions across all of your devices to work and live distraction-free. Visit freedom.to/Jomo to learn more. Welcome to the JomoCast. I'm your host, Christina Crook. Join us as we sit down with leading founders, creators, and thought leaders to learn how they embrace the joy of missing out. These guests are choosing to digitally detox and usher balance into their busy lives. Let's dive right in. Growing up as the first of four daughters, gender equality and leadership came naturally to British import Oni Anokhem. By day, she is the advocacy manager at the International Confederation of Midwives. But she also wears another hat as the show host of The 25 Podcast, a biweekly interview podcast that she started to guide young women through their mid-20s. Have you ever had the experience when someone asks you just the right question at just the right time, and when you answer it, it helps you discover something really true about you? Well, not long ago, Oni invited me onto her podcast to ask me what I wish I had known when I was 25 years old. Oni is smart. I intentionally arrived to our recording time unprepared, hoping to let my answers slip out naturally instead of spouting off canned responses the way I sometimes think I should. As I shared my circuitous career path through public broadcasting at the CBC, freelancing, communications, publishing, and early parenthood, I heard myself tell her, all of the best things that have happened in my career and in my life had nothing to do with me controlling them. I hope you enjoy this conversation between Oni and me as we break down the power of mentorship and what mutually supportive relationships can really look like. So, Oni, I need to just first get an update from you. What are you doing right now?
So I left Women of Influence. That's where I was when the last time that we spoke. I left at the end of July. And really, actually, it comes into the topic that we're speaking about today. I'd been thinking about it for a while, but working in social media was just getting too invasive on my life. And as much as I love the company and a lot of what I was doing, I really needed a break from that day-to-day social media management. And so now I'm working as an advocacy manager for the International Confederation of Midwives.
Wow.
So still using a lot of my communication skills, but doing a lot more kind of strategy and campaign work as opposed to being the day-to-day point person for social media. These times are just, they're completely new and we're working in a totally different way, but I can already feel that kind of peace that I was looking for in leaving that space. So yeah, it's been an interesting time for me. I'm still in Toronto, although I went back to the UK for a couple of weeks just to spend some time with my family after two cancelled trips during lockdown. I really can't complain. I think this year has, given me a lot of time for introspection and gratitude. And I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful that I haven't lost anyone in my immediate circle. And, I'm just looking around and I'm really kind of just in awe by everything that's going on. But it is a real reminder that we, as much as we think we are in control, there's many things that we can't control and we just have to lean into that and make the best with what we have, I guess.
But I want to take a couple of steps back and talk about your experience being a social media manager. What was that like on the day to day and what caused you to make that change away from that kind of work?
On the day to day, and I think this is something that you find universally across, social media managers, anyone that I speak to seems to share the same sentiment. Even though you are employed to do a job within, set hours, social media is all engulfing. It's not something that you can, especially when you're dealing with a kind of business to customer sort of interface. People are so used to having responses instantly and, hearing from companies that they are interested in on a regular basis, that it does become really all engulfing. You start off in the morning and you check your phone first thing in the morning and you see, has anyone said anything? Has the world, has there been like a PR nightmare overnight? That's like your first thoughts. And then there hasn't. And then you think, okay, I need to post something. I need to let the world know that I'm still here or we're still here. And you find that that's the first thing that you're doing in the morning before you kind of speak to anyone you love. Before you even make yourself a coffee, it's reaching for your phone to make sure like nothing's gone wrong whilst you're asleep, which is, a very crazy sort of way to live. And that continues all throughout the day. So you'll sign off from work when everyone else is signing off and you go home and there's still things to do. And it never sleeps. It never sleeps. It will go on as long as you let it. So you kind of have to be good at kind of creating and drawing those boundaries for yourself, but also mindful that, yes, I'm putting my phone down now and I am aware that something could go wrong whilst I'm away that I will be accountable for, which is a lot to feel for one person. And even in a team of people, it's definitely a lot to manage.
And you're talking about managing, it sounds like, the organizational, accounts that you were, for whatever organization you're working for, formerly for Women of Influence and now with the Midwife Group, but also for yourself personally and a personal project, which is your 25 podcast. So managing, am I hearing you right, that that's managing all of those different pieces?
Managing all of those different components. But you, to be honest, when social media is your work, it's really hard then to use social media for personal use and any side projects that you're running. So even with my podcast, I mean, I go through periods where I'm very, very consistent and I have a kind of clear comms plan of what I'm going to share through the week and the month. But when that's also your same line of work and your paid income, that often takes priority and trumps your personal engagement. And, and that's also a challenge as well. So moving into my new role, where I've stepped away from that day-to-day social media management, I found that I've got a lot more time to communicate with my loved ones through digital platforms and also run the social media accounts for my podcast. And I'm really thankful that I have a very understanding community that I've built with the podcast, and they are forgiving when they don't hear from me for a month. Like, people will check in to make sure I'm okay. But it's not like a, you haven't posted, or where's the last episode? They kind of give me that time and space. Because I think that, when you are building something up, there is a worry and there is a feeling that you need to post all the time, or people will, they'll stop being interested. They'll unfollow you. And that's a huge pressure. And for me, one of my biggest things has really been sharing content that I am proud of, quality content that like is actually meaningful, as opposed to just getting something out there. And I've been lucky that I've been able to do that and given the space to really cultivate a very authentic platform that's true to who I am and that my community really do engage with.
So let's talk about the vision and just like the impetus for creating your podcast. Let's tell us about what it's called and what it's about and why you started it.
Okay, so I started the 25 podcast on my 25th birthday last year. And the real idea behind it was that I was approaching 25 and I had all these kind of like anxieties around hitting this kind of milestone age. I had all these expectations that I've built up over the course of my life on where I would be by the time I was 25. And as I was getting there, I was like, I am nowhere near what I thought my life would be like. I had these wild expectations, even up until like my early 20s, that by the time I was 25, I would be a homeowner and like have a big house, not just, a little flat. I wasn't even thinking modestly. I thought, yep, I'm definitely going to have made it in my career by then. And I'll have this huge big house. I'll have a fast driving car. a husband and maybe a child on the way. That was always kind of like my sort of goal that I was working towards. And it strikes me, it's absurd that whilst I was in university, I still thought this was going to be my life and was, I won't say possible because for some people that's their reality, but thought that it would be like an easy kind of attainable goal. And the reality is like all things come, like I believe that all things come when they're meant to come in life. And, you know, yeah, I guess it was just looking around and all of the people that I engaged with had these similar sort of expectations of themselves too. So it didn't seem absurd at the time, but I look at us now and I think, gosh, like there's few people that have really been able to or were able to kind of achieve all of those things and still making sacrifices on other areas of that dream, I guess. But yes, I was approaching 25 and I thought it would be nice to speak to women who had already passed that milestone and have them reflect back on being in their mid-20s and kind of pick up some tips and tricks for myself and for the community that I've now built to help them ease those anxieties. And it's been a good kind of year and a half now since launch, and it's been amazing. It's been life-changing. I've had some really incredible conversations with some role models of mine, you included, actually. You joined me in my first season. And it was comforting to realize that a lot of people that I looked up to and aspired to be like didn't have, you know, everything together by the time they were 25. And I think that's...
Did any of them?
A few.
Okay.
A few people sort of, but it still seemed to be accidental as opposed to like, you know, designed. It just kind of, certain things fell into place. But yes, they maybe had the husband, but they weren't where they wanted to be in their career, or they were on track in their career, but, you know, their social life was suffering. So it was kind of eye-opening to kind of realize that most people by 25 do not have their whole life figured out. And, you know, even where they were in their lives when we had the conversations, we're still kind of figuring things out. And it really calmed me down and made me feel like life is a journey. It's not a destination. And throughout the conversations, that's what I've been kind of preaching to the community as well. Like just telling other people and that are around that same age to me and that are also approaching that milestone, that it's okay if things are not where you want them to be. It's just about, you know, creating sort of tangible plans and working towards being open to different things and different opportunities, as opposed to necessarily kind of having this fixed plan of like, my life can only be like this. And that's been nice to kind of share in calming other people's anxieties down after kind of relaxing mine.
I love that so much. I think, you know, there's a saying that says, you can have everything, but you can't have it all at once.
Yeah. That is important.
As I hear you talking about, some people had, you know, a piece, you know, figured out by the age they were 25. But yeah, there's the other pieces were, you know, suffering or needed to come into play later. What I love about your project is that its purpose, from my vantage point, is that you're seeking wisdom that you set out to glean from others. And also, I wrote down here that you wanted to kind of ground yourself in reality and have healthy expectations about where you are and give that to other people. I think that's such a beautiful gift that you're offering.
Yes, I just felt that lived experience really is the best teacher. And I mean, life is all about making mistakes, I say, and learning from them. And if you can speak to somebody else and kind of gain some insight from their lived experience, it can sometimes help you with managing your own. And that definitely has been my experience with the podcast, you know, just getting glimmers of, you know, gold, as I say, from the past experiences of others.
I want to know your biggest takeaway. So who has given the most universally valuable piece of advice on the 25 podcast, and what was it?
Who would I say? I often hear that my first episode with my mum around finances was a huge one. I think part of the reason people seem to love that episode so much maybe is also the relationship that I have with my mom and that kind of rapport that we had during the episode. But she really hit onto some home truths about getting financial independence. And I think for people in their mid-20s, you know, who have started, have maybe left education and are starting to work, it really is important to kind of understand the benefit of a pension. Or, you know, here in Canada, you have your
CPP.
You have your CPP. You have your, is it the RSP?
An RESP.
Yes, that one. So like having those type of accounts set up for future planning, you know, getting potentially investing in things, really cracking down on debt as well, because I think that university, that period, you can, well, any kind of further study that you may do, or even without study, you can rack up debt in your early 20s that doesn't seem so serious because everyone seems to sort of be in that same state. And with today's generation, the kind of easy access to this easy credit, like it's just being mindful that any credit that you take on and default on now can have consequences later on down the line. And that she really kind of preaches that importance of financial independence and security and finding that in your own context, independent of a partner, independent of your parents, whatever your kind of situation, just finding that independence and security for yourself.
That's so fun that you did your first episode with your mom.
Yes.
What prompted that? Why, like, did you know that that was the topic you were going to cover?
No, I didn't know that was the topic because in my first season, the kind of episode was set up on the premise of at 25, I wish I knew. And I opened that up to my guests and let them sort of take control of the conversation through what they wish they knew at 25. And before we had the call, I hadn't really asked her what she was going to speak about. So, I mean, she talks about so many different things to me all the time. Like, I did not have a clue this was what she was going to speak about. But I was sort of nervous before starting the podcast. And I thought, if I start with my mom, then I'll ease my way up. And yeah, it really set the stage for an incredible first series.
I love that you took that baby step. That's making me think of some people in my world, and you probably have people like this in your circle as well, that are, they have a kind of paralysis to starting a new project, to putting themselves out there. And I remember when I wanted to become a writer, but I was very nervous about sharing my writing with the world. And my baby step was back in the day when blogs were like really a thing. I started a blog sort of in, you know, like 2002. Yeah, right. That's right. A long time ago. But that was like an important step. And maybe I had one reader, right? And then four, and then 10. And, you know, it never became a massive, you know, following. But just giving yourself permission to create that safe container to make a thing and then stepping forward onto that. I love that you did that with your mom. I think that's a beautiful example of how we can be good to ourselves and make space for creating.
Yes, I think with starting any new project, there is an element of feeling vulnerable. And I always try and say to myself, don't let your anxiety and your fears of like rejection and, you know, people not liking your work stop you from doing something. So I always do try and put myself out there and like scale up in a manageable way. Like, yeah, and that's what it was for me starting that first episode with her. It just kind of set me up to move on to people that I didn't know so well. So I agree. Baby steps are really helpful in doing something that you want to do, but are a bit nervous to sort of get started on.
I'd like to tell you about a wonderful tool developed by a supporter of the JomoCast. We've talked a lot about how social media and mobile apps are designed on purpose to be habit-forming, distracting, and to let us thoughtlessly lose hours of our day. Part of cultivating intentional tech use means taking control back from influences like this and not letting them get in the way of what really matters. The Freedom app works across all your devices at once, Mac, Android, anything you've got, freeing you from the distractions that you choose. You can block time-wasting sites and apps or the entire internet for a deeply productive, focused session. Freedom gives you complete control of how much help you need and when. With a premium Freedom subscription, you can schedule daily or weekly sessions across specific sites, apps, and devices. Freedom users report regaining about 2.5 hours of productive time every single day. Wow. Because I believe in never advocating something I don't value myself, I've been using Freedom and had a wonderful first experience with it. After choosing to block all distracting apps, I later tried opening Facebook and got the message, "You are free. Do what matters." I can't think of any purer expression of JOMO than that. Give Freedom a try with a special JOMOcast discount. Install and upgrade to a premium yearly or forever plan for 40% off with code JOMO, J-O-M-O. Find out more at freedom.to/JOMO. That's freedom.to/JOMO. I encourage you to give Freedom a try. I wanted to know if you think that all of this wisdom you have gleaned over the last year and a half led you to the new trajectory you're on with your work.
Ooh, I would say not so much, but I guess conversations that I had with guests around burnout really did make me think about what my next step would be in my career, because I love communications, I love creating campaigns, but what I did not love so much was working on social media accounts as the kind of primary element of my role. And so I was suffering from burnout, and I really thought, like, I need to make a change for myself. And I started looking into my skill set and thinking, what transferable skills do I have that I could take to another complementary, industry or job role? And that's kind of how the process came about. Like, I really, through the conversations that I had, learned the importance of protecting your space and protecting your peace. And it just was a natural sort of transition.
How do you think younger people can better navigate their relationship with technology?
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And definitely the times that we're living in now probably haven't helped, I would say. There's not much space between how we use social media on and digital platforms on a personal level and also like a professional or academic level if you're studying online. So it's definitely a big challenge that a lot of people are facing. But I think that it's just creating that awareness. It's funny, using digital tools to monitor your digital usage seems kind of ironic, but there are a lot of tools out there that can kind of make you aware of your usage. And I think that awareness is the first step to making any change. Like, see how often and how much of your time you are spending on these different platforms and make positive changes that you want to incorporate. If you actively have a goal of spending less time on a specific platform and more time on, you know, a personal project or with your loved ones, then I think it's important to look at how you're spending your time and see where you can make cutbacks.
What are some tools or strategies that you personally use?
I'm a big fan of time blocking. And so I do actually incorporate in my weekly calendar some digital off time. And so I think it's the only way that I'll really kind of get it done. I take some time to just be offline and by myself without any devices. And I try not to use that time to watch TV because I'm like, I can't just go from one screen to another. So I'll try and, you know, do some physical exercise in that time, or perhaps like try out a new recipe that I've been keen to try out. Like just do some things that I always say I want to do, but never get round to it if I don't incorporate the time for.
I really love that the things you're doing in those blocks sound really nourishing, like things that you enjoy doing.
Yes. Yeah. And they're often things that, like, if you don't create space for in your life, will fall off your weekly, like, to-do list. They often seem unimportant. And so making that conscious time and effort to have that time is important. And by putting it in my calendar, I feel accountable to myself to have it. So if there is a time that I'm like, I can't have it because of this, I'm very aware that I'm canceling that time. And that makes me think, okay, when can I reschedule in some more time? So I think it's really important for me to have some off-screen time. And so if I'm like, okay, well, I have a deadline now, so I can't have this time now, I then say to myself, okay, I need to make it up some other time in the week. And I mean, if it ever happens that I can't do it at all, then I don't make myself feel bad about it. But it's just for me having that awareness.
That's good. I'm hearing you talk about a kind of integrity with yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of accountability on a personal level. And then in other aspects of my life, I do have like accountability buddies who check in with me to make sure that I'm meeting those goals, because I feel when I tell someone something, I feel a greater sense of commitment to it. No one ever wants to feel like they've failed. It's easy for me sometimes with certain goals to set them, not tell anyone about them, and then just sort of cross them off the list like they never happened. And in telling people, I do feel a commitment to at least making a stab at it. If I then decide I can't do this, or it was too big a goal to set at this given time, I know that I have made some attempt to sort of see it through.
Can you give one example of a kind of accountability you have, like on what a specific project? I would love to know, because I think accountability, as you already said, is so incredibly powerful to keep us on track and committed. And so I think even hearing for the listeners, you know, thinking about a particular area where they could get accountability, I'd love for them to imagine, you know, what that could look like.
So me and my sisters, or my sisters and I, we have weekly Sunday sister goal meetings, and we do them over Zoom or FaceTime, whichever platform we decide for that week. And it's just a chance for us all to kind of share the goals that we want to achieve that week and then touch base on them the following week. So an example could be like, this week I want to go to the gym twice, or I want to go out for a walk for an hour five times this week, or I want to apply for 5 jobs. I want to cook dinner for the family this week. Like, we just set like random goals that we want to achieve for the week, and then just touch base with each other.
That's so cool. How many sisters do you have?
I have 3 younger sisters, and they're all based in the UK, and I'm over here in Toronto.
You're the big sis.
I am the big sis. And it's nice. It's nice. 2 of my youngest sisters are at university, so we're all kind of in different parts, even though they're in the same country. So we tune in from wherever we are. And it's just a way of us also staying connected with what's going on in each other's life and helping to kind of lend a hand in achieving the goals that we want to achieve.
You're using technology in an incredibly intentional and empowering way.
Yeah. It's the beauty of technology. It's the beauty of it.
I've been thinking a lot lately in my own life about ease and efficiency and, on the other side, effort. So effort on one side and efficiency or ease on the other side. And I have a tendency to seek out hobbies or interactions that don't demand a lot of me because, you know, I'm a mom of three kids and I'm a professional and I have a lot on the go. And so when I have, you know, me time, I want to just check out. Like my tendency is to want to kind of check out and watch a show or do something not that demanding of me. But what I've been paying more and more attention to is that when I put effort into engaging with a person one-on-one or learning something new, like I'm learning the ukulele or the other day, one of my COVID things was learning the ukulele. Or my youngest son the other day bought a little board game and I took the time to read the instructions and learn it. And that's something that my husband would tend to do, but I wouldn't tend to do. But I am paying attention to how those things really energize me and fill me up in a way that passively consuming sort of the more efficient way of engaging, you know, with people in the real world or even online doesn't fill me up in the same way. So it's something that I'm paying a lot of attention to. So when I hear you talking about your sisters, and it's not just that like you've got that call and, you know, it's just what you do to kind of check in, but like you have a real purpose for it. It's really like you're putting effort into thinking about, you know, oh yeah, what did they say they wanted to do last week? I'm going to check in with them and caring about that and also bringing your own goals. And I just think that's a beautiful example of how effortful relational interactions really fill us up in ways that we sometimes don't expect.
They do give you a sense of purpose and achievement. I think, you know, like learning a new skill, whilst it might not necessarily be the most relaxing activity one could do, just seeing that journey from picking up the instrument to the like for the first time to being able to play one simple song really does give you this sense of achievement. And I think that, you know, for many of us, after we leave formal education, we stop that process of learning and we stop having those kind of certificate moments. And so there is definitely a lot of fulfillment in trying new things. And whilst they might not be the most relaxing things to do or the most easy things to do, I do like kind of challenging myself and seeing what's possible. We have so much, you know, there's so much untapped potential inside each and every one of us. And trying out new things really is a way to explore new skills that you and new talents that you have that, you know, haven't been awoken yet. And sometimes, and it's not even about, you know, becoming proficient in something. Sometimes it's just giving something a try, trying something new, stepping outside of the routines and regimen that we set for our lives. Experiencing something for the first time again.
Mm-hmm. Showing up to the world with a curiosity, and wonder about the world, but also I wonder what Oni's, you know, capable of. I wonder what Christina's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about capacity this year and like what capacity do I have that I have not tapped fully? Framing it more in a way of curiosity to kind of takes the pressure off. It's like, I wonder how this will go. I wonder. yeah, kind of like you're experimenting, you know, initially with the podcast with your mom. It's a really freeing way of living. Trying to figure things out that way. Oni, I want to ask you, if you could be your own advisor, what advice would you send back in time to 18-year-old Oni?
Ooh, the advice I would send back to my 18-year-old self would really just be to stop worrying so much. I think it's something that commonly when you ask people to reflect back, they do tell their past self not to worry so much. And I guess I have the benefit now of hindsight and lived experience. But I definitely worried a lot at 18. I just, you know, thought that I wasn't achieving enough and that I wasn't driven enough. And I, in reality, I I really was. And the fact that I was worrying about it probably, showed that I was kind of on the right track. And even if you're not worried about it, you know, you shouldn't be worried. Just enjoy life and enjoy the moments. Because, I mean, I started university at 18 and I just, yeah, I mean, if I could go back, I would have probably told myself to have more fun and to be less worried about how life was going to end up. Obviously, pay attention to your studies, but stop worrying about the bigger things in life and just live for the moment.
We connected over this concept of JOMO, and I'm curious to know what you would say the joy of missing out means to you.
I would say the joy of missing out is really giving yourself permission to be present in what makes you happy. I think in life, we get so caught up by kind of expectations that we set for ourselves, expectations that other people set for us. And really and truly, you have to question, is doing this going to make me happy? And if it's not going to make me happy, is it going to help me to advance in some sort of way? And if the answer to both of those is no, then sometimes you just have to give yourself permission to say, well, this doesn't serve me right now. And I'm going to take my time and have some me time or have some time doing something that I really want to do. Because life is so short, really, and we can't spend our life living for others. We have to live for ourselves.
Thank you so much, Oni.
Thanks for listening to the JOMOcast. Learn more about our guests in the show notes and by visiting JOMOcast.com. And remember to subscribe to the JOMOcast to be the first to hear our latest episodes. I want to extend a warm welcome to new Patreon true fan, Lisa Goetz. A special announcement about the Patreon. I'm going to start sharing the uncut Zoom videos of all of my interviews exclusively in the Patreon. So if you're interested in getting more bonus content and a handwritten note in the mail and a shout out on the podcast, go to patreon.com/JOMOcast. This podcast is made possible by listeners just like you. If you're interested in helping us keep these raw, vulnerable conversations going, leave us a 5-star review or share today's podcast with your friends. I hope the rest of your day brings you peace and that you embrace the joy of missing out.